ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 1 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द एडवेंट ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्णा इंट्रोडक्शन टेक्स्ट नंबर 45 एषा अनुजा बाला कृपणा पुत्रिकोपमा हन्तुं नार्हसि कल्याणिम् इमां त्वं दीनवत्सलः ट्रांसलेशन एज योर यंगेस्ट सिस्टर दिस पुअर गर्ल देवकी इज लाइक योर ओन डॉटर एंड डिजर्व्स टू बी अफेक्शनेटली मेंटेन्ड यू आर मर्सीफुल एंड देयरफॉर यू शुड नॉट किल हर Indeed, she deserves your affection. Text number 46. Shri Shuka Vacha Evam Sa Samabhir Bhedair Bodhyamano Pidarunah Nanyavartata Kauravya Purushadana Nuvrataha. Translation. Shukadev Goswami continued, O best of the Kuru dynasty, Kansa, was fiercely cruel and was actually a follower of the Rakshasas. Therefore, he could neither be pacified nor terrified by the good instructions given by Vasudev. He did not care about the results of sinful activities, either in this life or in the next. Text 47. Nirbandham tasya tam gyatva vichintyana ka dandubhihi प्राप्तं कालं प्रति व्योद्धुम् इदं तत्रान्वपद्यत Translation When Vasudev saw that Kansa was determined to kill his sister Devaki, he thought to himself very deeply. Considering the imminent danger of death, he thought of another plan to stop Kansa. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. Although Vasudev saw the imminent danger that his wife Devaki would be killed, he was convinced of his welfare because at his birth the demigods had played drums and kettle drums. He therefore attempted another way to save Devaki. We'll take the next text also. Text 48. Mrityur buddhi mata pohyo yavad buddhi balodayam yaddasau na nivarteta na paradhosti dehina. Translation. As long as he has intelligence and bodily strength, an intelligent person must try to avoid death. This is the duty of every embodied person. But if death cannot be avoided in spite of one's endeavors, a person facing death commits no offense. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is natural for a person facing untimely death to try his best to save himself. This is one's duty. Although death is sure, everyone should try to avoid it and not meet death without opposition, because every living soul is by nature eternal. Because death is a punishment imposed in condemned life of material existence, the Vedic culture is based on avoiding death. Tyaktva deham punar janma naiti. Everyone should try to avoid death and rebirth by cultivating spiritual knowledge and should not submit to death without struggling to survive. One who is not trying to stop death is not an intelligent human being. Because Devaki was face to face with imminent death, it was Vasudev's duty to save her, as he was trying his best to do. He therefore considered another way to approach Kansa so that Devaki would be saved. Krishna. I would like to sincerely seek the permission and blessings of one of Srila Prabhupada's very senior disciples who is present here in our assembly, His Grace Purna Pragya Prabhu, and also all the senior devotees present here. We seek their blessings. Hare Krishna. So today, the Srimad Bhagavatam is revealing how Vasudev is foiled in his attempts to try and save Devaki from Kamsa. He is very sincere and he is supported with good intelligence. But Kamsa is not receptive. So, finding himself to have failed, Vasudev is now thinking deeply if he should undertake another approach. And in the future verses, we'll see his other approach. So today's class will begin off with some thoughts on my own personal thoughts on this situation where Devaki is being held by her hair by Kamsa. His right hand is holding the sword, his mighty right hand, which has fought many battles, defeated many opponents, brought many under. Many's necks have been brought under the blade of that sword, under that might. His left hand is holding Devaki's hair. She is unable to get away. Vasudev with folded hands is pleading. So some thoughts on that. Very briefly, and then some lessons that come out very prominently in these four verses. In one of his lectures, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj also gave a sort of analogical understanding, let us say a symbolic understanding to this particular situation. And taking cue from that, I did try to expand it further. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj says that Devaki is facing imminent death. And Vasudev, and there he says, Vasudev also means the Shuddha Sattva platform or Vasudev consciousness. He says, when one is faced with imminent death, then the only person who can help us is the Shuddha Sattva platform or the Krishna consciousness platform. That is the only platform which can save one from imminent death. So going further on from what he spoke, the conditioned soul is always in a situation like Devaki's, facing imminent death. However, the conditioned soul has strong belief in the personality of Kamsa, who represents rampant materialism. This is justified by Vyasadev himself, where he states in the first canto, Yaya sammohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute nartham tatkritam chabhipadyate tatkritam anartham. Because of tatkritam abhipadyate, because of having taken shelter of the concept that this body and the pleasures that is being presented by the body, which essentially means materialism, the bodily concept of life is materialism. This causes lot of anarthas or problems or dangers for the living entity. But the living entity is blissfully unaware of that because there is belief in Kamsa. So here Devaki had such belief in her brother Kamsa, and she had no warning that something other could happen. generally, this is Dwapar Yuga, so obviously a girl is being married at an early age. So we may consider she is post-pubertal age, so maybe around 15, 16, 14, that age. So for 14, 15 years of her life, she has had wonderful, beautiful, loving relationship with a brother, just as a conditioned soul has a beautiful relationship with materialistic life. Very intimate relationship. Yes? In fact, Bhaktivinod Thakur, he describes this relationship in his bhajan. Adarera chhele swajanera kole nasheya kataino kala janaka janani snehete bhuliya samsara lagilo bhala. So, one is, there is no, to the conditioned soul, there is actually no reason to feel that the loving affection of the Janaka Janini, of the parents and brothers and sisters and good society members and relatives is defective or it is dangerous. We lead our lives like that. The conditioned soul does lead the life like that. However, anartham, there is danger. And Devaki had to see this danger directly. She had to experience it directly. It was there. As will the conditioned soul face. During this lifetime, all of us are going to face. There are going to be innumerable small elements of danger and ultimately death personified, which can come any moment. So, the whole arrangement of the material nature is such that we consider this great enemy to be a friend, to be our hitaishi, to be our well-wisher. And we submit ourselves totally unto this well-wisher. If we are perceptive, then we can immediately reject this concept because you see that material life is very volatile. There's no stability therein. And we want a stable relationship. We want stable happiness. Eternal happiness. So an intelligent person seeing the instability in the material world will understand this is danger, this is kamsa. Right now, loving brother, next moment, sword in hand, ready to chop off. So that is one thought that I had. The second thought, this is all from the viewpoint of Devaki, how Devaki is observing this scene. You know? Many times we can discuss about how Kamsa is, you know, from the viewpoint of Kamsa, from the viewpoint of Vasudev. Sometimes devotees discuss is how does Devaki see this scene from her eyes, through her eyes. Right? She has full faith in Kamsa. She had it for 18, 16, 15 years of her life. Unflinching faith. This is my brother. It is natural to have such faith in this world, to have faith on this body, to have faith on the senses. In fact, sometimes we may justify so many activities in a practice of Krishna consciousness based on the faith that we have on the body and the senses. So she has full faith in Kamsa. And it is, for the conditioned soul, it is natural to have that faith. How could Devaki even imagine in her wildest dreams that this loving brother of hers could harm her? She could never imagine that he could harm even one hair on her head. What to speak of him holding all her hair in his hand? But the fact is, Kamsa, what he represents symbolically, inherently will always harm the living entity. Nasato vidyate bhavana bhave vidyate satah. Ubhayor api drishtantas tvanayas tattva darshibhi. For that which is impermanent. Yes? There is no existence. So the relationships of this world are impermanent. Where is there existence for it? Where is the existence of, being or feeling a shelter of such temporary principles, where is there the existence of that? Nasato vidyate bhava, na bhava vidyate sata. And for that which is perm, which is existent, there is no end. Ubhayarapi drishtontas. We have to analyze, use our intelligence to properly understand both and come to the conclusion of that where we should put faith and that where our faith will necessarily be harmed, and choose the right shelter. Tattvadarshibhi. Those are called tattvadarshis. And this is what Srila Prabhupada, he envisioned his followers to be, tattvadarshis. He was so very protective of his fledgling disciples. Whenever anyone would point out, they have this defect and that defect, and Prabhupada would say, they are chanting Hare Krishna, they are following the four regulative principles with faith and conviction, they believe in Krishna. So he was envisioning them as tattvadarshis, those who could distinguish between that which is permanent and that which has no existence. Yes, so that is the legacy that we have, to know that kamsa will always harm us. The third thought that I had is, Devaki has such great plans for happiness, isn't it? On a marriage day, which girl will not have plans for happiness? She has wonderful plans and dreams of being happy. Just as a conditioned soul always has plans. You know, for a conditioned soul, every day is like being married to a new desire. You wake up in the morning and, oh, today is my marriage day. The bands and the kettle drums are playing and a new desire is there. And we are full of thoughts of having how we are going to enjoy this new desire. We decorate it properly and things like that. So she has all these plans of being happy. And in her plans of being happy, Kamsa plays a very important role. In the plans of the conditioned soul to being happy, materialism plays a very important role. Kamsa is a dear brother. But the fact is that rampant materialism always bites back. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukha yone evate adyantavanta kontena teshura mate buddha. Only the intelligent people do not take pleasure in rampant materialism. Only the intelligent people. And those who are not intelligent, those who are maybe less intelligent, little less intelligent, feebly intelligent, not intelligent, all of them fall into the category of being harmed by Kamsa. Because yehi samsparsha jag bhoga dukha yone evate. It does not say sometimes dukha yone, maybe dukha yone. It is absolute dukkha yoni. Dukkha yoni, it is the birthplace of unhappiness. So Devaki has plans of being happy, but she is sitting right in the birthplace of unhappiness, because Kamsa is playing an important role in her plans for happiness. She depended on Kamsa and Kamsa betrayed her, which is not something surprising. Materialism always betrays the plans that the conditioned soul has for happiness. This body, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that there's so much that we do for this body, and ultimately what does the body do? It betrays us. Leaves us. Devaki was happy with Kamsa, but Kamsa made her unhappy. So this is Devaki's position. Now let us see Kamsa, what does he represent? Kamsa represents the principles which are always contrary to spiritual consciousness. That is what he represents. However, occasionally such principles may appear to be compatible with spiritual consciousness. Just like Kamsa appears to be compatible right now. Oh, brother-in-law, please come. I'll drive my daughter to my sister to your house. She is my loving sister. So sometimes it appears compatible, you know. That is why, especially in India, this concept of trying to balance both, it's like Akash Pushpa, Willow of the Wisp. You take something from this Purana, something from that Purana, something from this example, mix them all, and make a nice concoction. So sometimes it appears that the principle of materialism is compatible with spiritual consciousness. Yes, We are going to Vasudev's house. We are going to the house of Krishna consciousness. Kamsa is my dear brother who is going to drive the horses to Krishna consciousness. Just wait. Just wait. The contrary nature of Kamsa will be revealed. Kamsa represents the principle of materialism, which basically means materialism has no favorites. Totally self-interested. Now the mind and the senses, the day we tell them, no, now we have to do something contrary to this, oh, how they revolt. They're so self-interested. That is Kamsa. Right now, totally selfless, becoming a servant of his sister. Next moment, his real self-interest comes forth. The principle of Kamsa represents, or Kamsa represents the principle that always wants to kill the soul's real self-interest, especially if challenged or harmed. We cannot be anything but alert against the desire of materialism within our heart. Constantly alert. Because the moment this principle feels, material principle feels, material enjoyment feels that we are trying to harm it, it will try to kill us and kill our propensity for Krishna consciousness. At the same time, the silver lining amongst the dark clouds is that however powerful material nature may be, dvaitaya, it is not as intelligent as spiritual consciousness or Vasudev consciousness. And now, what does Vasudev represent? As Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, pure consciousness or Krishna consciousness, the husband of the living entity, the pure living entity. Yes? The husband who will take away the living entity from its entrapment of 20 years of being the sister of Kamsa. Take it away from that. And Kamsa will revolt. Although Krishna consciousness is ultimately powerful, in this material world, sometimes there is some diplomatic dealings between spiritual consciousness and material consciousness. As Vasudev here is dealing diplomatically with Kamsa. And those are the dealings, those are the activities of the pure devotee. When I say diplomatic, not really in the diplomatic sense where one is trying to get one's benefit. But diplomatic means not really trying to disturb someone such that they never take up Krishna consciousness, but go in like a needle and come out like a plow. That is Vasudev. That is Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada once did say, I'm not sure of the reference, but he did say, if they knew why I had come to America, they would have killed me or they would have harmed me. You know, he just went in like a needle. You know, and nobody was aware when he came to Boston Pier. But then this huge movement. Yeah. So, conclusion of my thoughts is that Devaki may have a relationship with Kamsa as a brother, but her eternal relationship, this is from the Vedic concept, you know, the eternal relationship of the woman is with the man, her husband. Other relationships are temporary. She's always considered to be, you know, in her father's house, the property, or she's considered to be a treasure, but someone else's treasure. So she can never have a relationship with Kamsa eternally. She is meant to have a relationship with Vasudev eternally. And what is that relationship? That relationship fructifies when Krishna appears. So Krishna consciousness with a surrendered living entity gives forth to Krishna, birth to Krishna within the heart, within one's life. So poor Devaki, and I was just considering that here is this young girl just married and all her friends must have told us, you know, the typical scene, you're getting married, and she's just heard of Vasudev. She's never seen Vasudev because generally Vedic tradition doesn't allow that. So she's just heard of him. But she's seen Kamsa regularly and heard from him. She's seen him regularly. And she is in this, and she's on the chariot. And suddenly Kamsa turns around and is trying to kill her. She's shocked. And in that state, she's hearing Vasudeva speak about how all relationships are temporary, the body is temporary. She's just got married. On the day of her marriage, she's just leaving her house and she's been instructed in how everything is temporary. A young girl has to facing that. First of all, she's been shocked with her concise behavior. Then she, this is my husband and I have to live my life with him. Can you imagine how all the plans that a young girl like that must have had, they must have all evaporated. Not just because of Kamsa, but also hearing pure Krishna consciousness being spoken. It is like the living entity, you know, when we hear for the first time Krishna consciousness, we are shocked. First of all, we are shocked understanding how, what a precarious condition we are in. And then we realize all the solutions are temporary. Whoa. Yes? So, Devaki is in that situation. But then she did have a choice. And according to her choice, she surrendered, took shelter. She did not even speak a single word. She just surrendered to whatever Vasudev, she was handling the situation, she surrendered to him. To the pure consciousness of a pure devotee. Just surrendered to him. No word spoken, no challenge. No dispute. No endeavor on one's own. The only endeavor is, I'm surrendered. I'm here. I'll stick with you. Never go away. I'll just stick with you. So, some lessons that come forth in the short time that we have. The first point in the first verse that is being mentioned is deserves to be affectionately maintained. This is a very important principle, both in spiritual life and in material life. Affection and maintenance and protection of one's dependence. In material life, we have an experience of this, right? Everyone knows we have had some, you know, our dealings of affection, we have received affection, we have given affection, we have received protection, we have received maintenance also. However, now because Kali Yuga has become so degraded 5,000 years from now, certain situations really make you think. Like, let us consider, there are 8,400,000 species of life, 84 lakh species of life, 80 lakhs are non-human species. And sometimes within this non-human species also we find that the parents, they may eat up their offsprings as soon as they are born. There are certain species, fishes, snakes, they eat. They kill their own children. But none of the other species ever kills their children in their womb. Human being does that. And although we have had our share of, you know, affection in the outside world, this really makes us fearful. If the human species has become so barbaric and cruel, and Prabhupada was so very emphatic on the point of, you know, people now engaging in these acts of abortion. He was so emphatic on that. So Kali Yuga is a very dangerous place. Just 5,000 years have passed and so many, 4,27,000 has to pass. Imagine. The concept of affection and maintenance, they can be easily trampled upon. We see all over the world, it is being trampled upon. There's so much dictatorship and tyranny and corruption going on. However, this principle is very important, especially in spiritual life. Devotees or practitioners in spiritual life must feel affection. Why? Because in the outside world, most of us, we have this experience because in the outside world, the affection was lacking. And whatever was there, it wasn't sufficient. That is why we all come and that is why we are all staying in Krishna consciousness. Isn't it correct? The affectionate dealings. I mean, the philosophy is there, but there are so many others in the outside world also who quote philosophy. Now, recently, some 10 years back, when we were preaching in the colleges, the students, they asked a question based upon some movie. You know, some great person, a big actor was, well-known actor was there in this movie. Who had a gun in one's hand and he was maybe an assassin or someone and he was shooting people and what was he chanting? No, he wasn't doing that. He was chanting verses from the Bhagavad Gita which says the body is temporary and the soul is eternal. Yes? avinashi tu tadvidhiyena. So in the outside world, people know philosophy. We also know philosophy. They quote, we quote. Sometimes they quote much more. They sing bhajans more beautifully. You know, we may even have recordings of their bhajans, but after the bhajan, you know, inside the harmonium, there's something else. There's a small bottle there with some intoxicant there, right? So what is the thing that keeps one in Krishna consciousness? It is philosophy which is practiced in an affectionate atmosphere. Most of, when we hear about the disciple of Srila Prabhupada discuss about those times, it is about the affection. Even when it was very heavy, there was affection. So that is lacking there in the outside world. And that is possible in this, that is what? That is rasa. That is Krishna consciousness. So it is a very important principle. So affection does not only mean, you know, like, let us go back. A parent is naturally affectionate to a child. But here, the principle is being said that it extends not only to children, but to one's dependents. And the very graphic example in Srimad Bhagavatam is of Parikshit Maharaj giving shelter, protection to Kali. This notorious personality, I mean, what a sinful personality, is beating up a bull to pulp, and the cow is trembling and he's abusing her, dharma is being destroyed. And then he says, I surrender unto you. And Maharaj Parikshit said, all right, you are sheltered. So the principle of shelter is very important in a society which is civilized, especially if one is ready to surrender. As soon as Jagai and Madai surrendered, okay, shelter, all your sins are forgiven. So if one who is capable of giving shelter does not follow this principle, then very soon we'll lose all of our good qualities. So here he's appealing to Kamsa. Obviously, as Vrishabhanu Prabhu said, you know, there is a debate as to whether Kamsa really had a heart or not. You know, he was appealing to his heart, but it is debatable if he had a heart or not. Right? So, affection. I was listening again, I've been listening to some lectures by Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and he was speaking on community development and a society of devotees. And he was mentioning this principle of affection. He said, what is affection generally? How do we understand it? And he gave an example. He said, let's say a mother who is affectionate to a child sees a child fall down and scrape its knee. Then the mother just, you know, picks up the child, rubs the knee a little, you know, puffs on it a little, and says, it's okay, everything will be all right, don't worry, I am there. And those affectionate words actually heal up the child much more than the wound which is disturbing it. It is a healing effect. So he said, similarly, as preachers in Krishna consciousness, we have to deal with new devotees who constantly keep on scraping their knees. And we have to always keep on reassuring them, don't worry, it will be all right. You know, scraping their knees means their egos are hurt. I did not get this and I was expecting that. This did not happen. And the challenges that they face, they're constantly falling down and scraping their knee. So expert preachers know how to lift them up, you know, dust away whatever impurities may be there and reassure them. Everything will be all right. Don't worry. So those words, they give a healing touch. With sincerity, there has to be sincerity. You know, otherwise the billboards also offer you those words. We will take care of you. But we know that they don't offer any, there's no sincerity therein. So we cannot be just billboards, you know. Now sometimes we become billboards. Somebody is in trouble, they say, go to that billboard devotee. He'll give you the proper words. So there has to be sincerity within. So he said, you're saying, and then he mentioned that sometimes even not just new devotees, but sometimes old devotees also bruise their knees. they also get rubbed the wrong way after so many years in Krishna consciousness. And they also have to be dealt with affectionately. There, everything. It's very nice when you hear his words, you know, he goes like a very loving Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you know. He's a stalwart, forward preacher like that. That is the image that we have. And those words, he says, there, don't worry, everything will be all right. Even to our devotees, senior devotees, those who have been in Krishna consciousness for a long time, there, don't worry. Things will be all right. Krishna is there. So then he went on to say that, as practitioners of Krishna consciousness, we must understand that in the external world, there are many people out there who are just like us. We were the lucky ones because we came to know about Krishna consciousness. There are other people who are they are with knees which are scraped, but they have not heard about Krishna consciousness. And therefore, a devotee goes out, there's book distribution, one goes out and speaks about Krishna. And he said, Prabhupada spent so much of his time and energy writing these books in the early mornings. And it was not just his effort from the material point of view. Yes, it is impressive. He spent so much time and energy. He's, you know, and everything. As an old man, old age, wherever he was in the world, he would sit down and translate his books. So that is one part. The other aspect is, whenever Prabhupada would be asked occasionally, on many occasions, he said, I never wrote these books. These are not my books. Krishna personally wrote them. So his Bhakti Vedanta purports are his devotional ecstasies in connection with Krishna. Krishna, just like when Vyasadeva was dictating and Ganesh was writing, Krishna is sitting right next to him and Prabhupada is writing those books. So that affection that Prabhupada, those feelings that Prabhupada is having when Krishna is dictating, those are his devotional ecstasies. And they are available to everyone who takes his books. That is why his books are revolutionary. Anyone who even touches his books, there's a revolution within the heart created of that person. So from both points of view, the endeavor and the austerities, and so much of, he cared so much for all of us, that is there. And the other side, his own devotional ecstasies, both combined are there in his books. Therefore, when someone reads his book, the books do the job. They create a desire within the heart of a living entity. Where will I find the people who have been described in these books? Prabhupada says, we have established a movement wherein there are nice loving dealings, six dealings. Where is this movement? Where are the people? So they come searching and they come here and they find, oh, this is so wonderful. Sunday feast, everyone is bumping into each other, you know, crashing and still there with arms around. I love this. There's traffic jam right here. No one loves traffic jam in Bombay. But atmosphere like this, they love to come in that jam and be jammed. Because there is such affectionate dealings. And when they come and taste that, then something else happens. They don't want to leave. And many of us, maybe, you know, some of us, we came and we thought we'll just see it, understand it, then decide, go away. But unfortunately, that go away never happened. We stayed. Right? So similarly, the others who come, they will stay. And then he gives a sort of warning for seasoned devotees or those who have been, not warning, but actually, you know, a loving way of, you know, preparing us. He said, the only thing that makes us stay in Krishna consciousness and society of devotees is this affection. And the only thing that makes us live, most commonly that makes us live is a lack of affection. And he says, either we feel we have not received affection or we have not received sufficient affection and we leave. And then he says, therefore, we should never ever create a situation where someone feels like this. So the next point then comes up, how to create a situation like that. And he quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, Machitta matapagata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanticha ramanticha. He says, the only way to do that is to discuss about Krishna constantly and take pleasure in it. That is the only way affectionate dealings can be maintained. Now, it is not very easy to discuss about Krishna. Come on. I mean, all of us have had experience. Even the most prolific devotees, I mean, amongst my own peers, I have seen myself when I'm amongst my own peers, it's so difficult to discuss about Krishna. It is easy to discuss everything that is happening in the movement.
You know, therefore we have policies somehow or the other that certain time they have to come together and only discuss of Krishna. So we understand it is not very easy to discuss about Krishna. It's easy to discuss about everything else. They may be remotely connected to Krishna, but to discuss Krishna directly, only, difficult. And why is that? Because hearing is deficient. Therefore, there has to be proper hearing, sufficient hearing. Hence, along with chanting a regular 16 rounds of Hare Krishna, there has to be sufficient hearing time. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, reading Chaitanya Charitamrit, discussing with devotees. He said, I have seen that. Ramakrishna Maharaj gives an example. He says, I had the opportunity to see Srila Prabhupada, you know, do that with his god brothers in Vrindavan. Sometimes Srila Sridhar Swami Maharaj would come. Sometimes Srila Akichan Das Babaji Maharaj would come. He'd say, all they would do was discuss about Krishna or Lord Chaitanya and laugh. And sometimes there was this discussion, what is happening here, there. But that would be very, very minuscule. And he said, this is Bhagavad Gita, that verse, Machchitta Madgata Prana, in action, seen it. Yeah. So the only way, and this is the only way, this is where Krishna is, this is where affection is. And that is, that will exist in the society of devotees only when there is nice hearing and chanting and discussion. There has to be kirtan. There has to be kirtan. And he really explained this analogy a bit. He said, what does it mean discussing about Krishna? It doesn't mean that just amongst devotee communities ask, so how is your Krishna consciousness going on? And are your children also becoming Krishna conscious? And is a job all right? And are you healthy? And do you come for the programs? And so on and so forth. So many things that we can ask. Before that, he explains the concept of why it is difficult to discuss about Krishna. He says, just look at the outside world. People watch so much television. People see, they hear so much of radio. They hear so much of this FM radios. They read so much newspapers. Therefore, it is so easy for them. As soon as 3-4 people come out, they talk. Did you know what Barack Obama did? Do you know how the economy is collapsing? Do you know this? Do you know that? He says, devotees have to become as adept. And the only way we become as adept, they discuss Gramya Katha, we discuss Krishna Katha. When we have topics like that to discuss. Right? So he says, and then he makes this point that devotees may discuss these things, they are all right. However, if we want real affection to flow, then we have to discuss about Krishna. And the way to discuss about Krishna is, he gives an example, just as Roop and Sanatan, when they met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they immediately asked, how can my material problem be resolved? Right? So then the devotees who have heard this, they come and ask each other, how did Roop and Sanatan discuss? We don't ask ourselves, how can we resolve? Because we'll discuss about Barack Obama and the economic situation only. So we have to discuss, how did Roop and Sanatan get the solution from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? We have to discuss how devotees and what sacrifices or what activities they have performed to spread Krishna consciousness. How the Poland Yatra is going on, the Polish Yatra is going on, how the Yatra in Australia is going on, how the Yatra, the Vrindavan Yatra, the previous South India Yatra happened. And we have to discuss about devotees, because he said, when we do that, an important principle is being followed. When you speak about someone whom you, when you're asked about someone whom you care for, you're very enthusiastic to speak about them. So discussion amongst devotees is to know how to discuss with another devotee, know what they care for. Care for about another devotee's devotional practice, only that care, not other cares. And try to bring that out. So when someone asks us a question, because we have an affection, we have some concern for the activities of another devotee whom we like, we feel satisfied explaining that. And then he said, as we make advancement like this, then we can start discussing about Krishna. Krishna went to Dwarka today. Do you know what happened? What was the scene? Krishna went to Kurukshetra, and how the Brajvasis went to meet him, the entire Rathya episode. And then he says, when we become more advanced, then we can ask questions about Krishna's pastimes. And then it becomes Tushyanti cha Ramanti cha. Like that. So, that is one principle, one thing. I'm beyond time, so I'll stop here. There are other principles, but some other time. So, Vasudev, just to conclude this, because this is today's verse, Vasudev is seeing a very dangerous situation, but at the same time, he is not feeling hopeless. And we may have so many, and it is going to happen. We are going to land up with dangerous situations in our life, but we cannot feel hopeless. And why? Why is Vasudev not feeling hopeless? Because he remembered at the time of his birth, demigods were playing drums and kettle drums. And he knows this is, his welfare is, you know, it is guaranteed. You don't believe me? See, here it says like that. Prabhupada says, Vasudev saw the imminent danger, but he was convinced of his welfare because at his birth, demigods played drums and kettle drums. Now, so many of us have been in initiation ceremonies. And initiation means taking birth, right? And what happens when someone takes birth in an initiation ceremony? Dum 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 dum. Hari bol, hari bol. Auspicious. Our welfareness has been guaranteed. Right? Because demigods have played kettle drums when you took birth. So we don't have to worry about our welfare anymore. We have to have faith in Krishna. Situations are going to be very challenging. But then we think deeply, what does Krishna want me to learn from it? And one thing that keeps, or one thing that is very reassuring is that for a devotee, especially for whom kettle drums have been played at the time of birth, whose welfare has been guaranteed, for that devotee, a danger simply means Krishna is knocking and saying, can I come in and associate with you? Do you want me to come in and associate? So Krishna is coming closer. And hence Kunti, as she prays, you know, let these dangers come again and again. Or sometimes we see devotees like Narad Muni, they actually create danger. They tell Kamsa, you know, which one is earth? You don't know. Any child could be earth. Krishna, because they want to hasten, they want to quicken Krishna's appearance. But a warning is, we should not try to take up such a role in other devotees' life. Prabhu, let me create some calamity in your life so that, you know, Krishna comes to closer to you. That we see for ourselves. Because if we try to do like that, then the other devotee definitely will become more Krishna conscious if they are sincere. But we are guaranteed that our Krishna consciousness will go away because your offense committed. So there has to be nice affection, affectionate dealings that will allow us to stay. And we have to be, we are assured because we have taken shelter of a bona fide parampara coming from Krishna himself. And demigods or devotees have, you know, glorified that situation. They have blessed it. We are assured that our welfare is going to be there. We just have to stick on to the process of Krishna consciousness, realizing that even in the gravest of dangers, you know, especially so many devotees, especially when we are chanting Hare Krishna and things don't go right, we must understand, Krishna wants to come in right now. Therefore, let us allow him to come in. That moment, we have to change our mind from all the problems that we are having at chanting, put it away. Remember that kettle drums have been played and say, okay, Krishna, come in. Please come in right now. The next word in the Mahamantra that I'm chanting, please come in. We know you are waiting. That is why chanting has become so difficult. One way to look at it. This is one way to look at it. Not always, you know. Sometimes we have to be optimistic in our chanting process also. Right? Krishna wants to come in. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. Would there be any questions? Any comments? Just one, because we're 10 minutes late. He raised his hand first, Ekalavya Prabhu, so could I? Yeah?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Babuji. This you said that Narad Muni came to Kamsa and he said that anyone could be the child, any child it can be. Out of the eighth, anyone can be the child. So why doesn't Narad Muni make him a devotee? Like when Narad Muni saw Mrigari killing animals, he made him a devotee. He said that killing animals is not good. So later on, Mrigari became a devotee. So why doesn't Narad Muni make Kamsa a devotee? Why does he say that any of the child can be the cause of your death? And Kamsa goes on killing babies and Devika's babies. So why doesn't he make him a devotee actually?
Why doesn't Narad Muni make Kamsa a devotee just as he made Mrigari a devotee? Narad Muni is, you know, he's like the general flying in the helicopter, so he's seeing the entire scene on the battlefield. He sees it very clearly. Whereas individual soldiers like us, we are in the midst of the battle, so we are very much, is samne wale ke liye kuch kyun nahi karta general? No, he's seeing the entire battlefield. So that is being explained here, this today's verse. 10, 1, 45, 46. Just a minute. Why doesn't Narad Muni do that? Okay. This is Sukadev Goswami. Somehow, no, he comes into this verse is saying that Sukadev directly speaks. Sukadev Goswami directly speaks. Parikshit says, "Oh, best of the Kuru dynasty, Kamsa was fiercely cruel and was actually a follower of the Rakshasas. Therefore, he could neither be pacified nor terrified by good instructions given by Vasudev. He did not care about the results of sinful activities, either in this life or in the next." How can you ever preach to a person like that? Well, for us, practically, it means upekha. Right? Those who are so envious and so inimical, we leave them alone. However, devotees like Vasudev and devotees like Narad Muni, they are more empowered than us. And they can tackle people like Kamsa. So what Kamsa needed was a radical surgery. He needed that he be killed by Krishna alone so that this lifetime he gets, it ends. He does not commit anything more grievously injuring to himself and gets a fresh start. And that only happens when Krishna personally comes and kills. Because Krishna's killing is also merciful. Is loving, right? So he, as a general, sees the entire scene and says, okay, Kamsa has to die at the hands of Krishna. Better Krishna come as early as possible. So he goes and tells Kamsa, "Are, jaldi karo, jaldi karo." But in different words. Okay? So this verse explains why Kamsa could not ever. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.